This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. With the retirement of Pope Benedict XVI, the cardinals of the Catholic Church meet in Rome in a few days to select a new pope. Catholic Archbishop Wilton Gregory is the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. Archbishop Gregory joins us in his office. Thanks very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis.
One of the challenges for the new pope is going to be certainly the church in the third world, the church facing so many crises, and the urge to try to repair the church's image in the Western part of the faithful. So can any one pontiff be manager, preacher, healer, prophet? And does Pope Benedict's retirement really say this job may be beyond one person?
Dennis, I think you've touched upon certainly the most public issues that the new pontiff will face. There are others that are not quite so public but are certainly important. That will be the primary conversation the cardinals will take up. The pontiff will be able to do certain things well, some things better than others, but like any one in authority, he has to find people who will assist him in those areas that he perhaps does not have all of the talents, the skills, or the know-how. One of those things would be the media.
Which of the attributes for a successful pontificate would you put at the top?
I guess I would certainly put at the very top that he be a man of prayer and faith. Because what distinguishes the pontiff from a business executive is not that he simply is touching upon the things of faith, but that he has to strengthen the faith of those around him. So he has to have the administrative qualities needed to run the organization, but he must also exude and demonstrate and invite the confidence and the faith of others. If he doesn't have that capacity, he's simply a good CEO.
Let's come back for just a second. You said there are some issues that aren't so public that will be at the top of the challenges for the new pope. What are some of those?
One of those would be the structure, the curial structure, which has gotten attention, but it is that dimension of his ministry that is at his disposal to assist him in all of the complex relationships that he has with other governments, the nuncios, the ambassadors, his relationship with the international world on issues of justice and peace and poverty. The structures of the curia are at his disposal and should be at his beck and call to help him to respond to those and many other issues that flow from being the leader of such a large world community.
And the curial structure is the Vatican bureaucracy, basically. That raises a question because we have seen so many issues, scandals, in which the Curia was either involved or at least had some contact with. And we don't have to go through all of those. But it raises the question of whether we have, as bad as they are, a scandal in this part of the church structure or a scandal in that part of the church structure, or are we looking at something more fundamental, corruption at the core of the church's administration?
Dennis, I would hope that your last observation is not the correct one. I would hope that it's a matter of not having someone coordinate the dimensions of the curia effectively. And so in any structure, if you have people functioning, good people, noble people, honest people, generous people, but they're not coordinated well, there's a tendency for them to, as the popular phrase goes, have silos. And someone said, the one thing that this moment may remind us of is that the only citation from Scripture that is being followed in some of these world structures is that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, you know, and that needs to be taken into consideration. So I would hope that corruption is not the root cause of some of the problems. I would hope just poor management, which can lead to corruption or provide the opportunity for corruption. But I also know many of the people that work in the Curia, and from my years in Rome, they are very good people, clergy and religious and laity. And I think I would want to say that I believe the vast majority of them want nothing but the best for the church. But someone has to coordinate all of that.
Are you afraid that there might be something more systemic, a systemic sort of corruption?
Dennis, I would like to take a wait and see. I know, obviously, from public media statements and disclosures that there have been people who have not held to the highest standards, and that needs to be addressed because it only takes a little yeast to corrupt a very large amount of dough.
Some of your colleagues in the Conference of Bishops, some of the cardinals who will be at the conclave, have been associated with sheltering abusive priests. And certainly one of the names has been Cardinal Mahoney, but he's hardly the only one, Cardinal Mahoney from Los Angeles. Do you think that he and others should skip this conclave because of that?
Dennis, I'm not in a position because I don't know all the facts. I know some, and those are public in their nature, but I would hesitate to paint with the same brush anyone who in the public media has been tainted. Has there been a sea change in what we do in 2012 or 2013 to how we handle things in the 1980s? Of course. And so many of the issues, that certainly in reference to the sexual abuse of minors, we are learning at this moment in time of an event that took place many decades ago and sometimes a generation ago. And we are judging people by today's standards on how they acted at that time frame. Crime is crime.
That's where I was getting to. Isn't that kind of thing... Isn't one of the teachings of the church for centuries that kind of thing is wrong?
Crime is crime. And I think, as from my experience as president of the conference, one of the key movements, in at least in terms of the bishops of the United States, was to look at this first as a crime, second as a sin. And I think that was a reversal that many bishops found difficult, that because we're in the business of salvation, we're in the business of forgiving, we're in the business of having people disclose some of the great secrets and pains and brokenness, broken dimensions of their hearts, and we forgive. The law enforcement people are in the business of crime, and it was a sea change that, unfortunately, not everybody took to heart, put in place, but to treat crime as crime and to recognize that there is a difference between a criminal action and a sinful action. They may both be there, but let the law handle the crime and we can handle the sin.
So to the question of whether cardinals should skip the conclave, you would leave that up to them. Do you have any problem with them being there?
First of all, it is not my right to make that judgment. My responsibilities are limited here in Atlanta. But now that the Holy Father has retired, there is no authority, ecclesial authority, to make that judgment.
An obvious question that everyone asks, when you look at the qualities that you talked about a moment ago that would be part of a successful pontiff or pontificate, is there anybody that comes to your mind right now?
Well, first of all, I know a good number of the cardinals personally, and I have great respect and affection for them. I don't know if a candidate profile has emerged yet. I think that's one of the things that they're going to be looking at. And to go back to one of your first observations, there are so many things that this new pope, that any pope has to face, certainly the new pope. Not only does he have the great task of addressing these problems, he's got to rank them. What do I do first? And obviously, that decision will please some and displease others. But he has to have the capacity and the serenity of soul and heart to go about the task. He can't panic, although he may very well go back to the papal apartments and cross his eyes, you know, because it is such a complex issue.
But there's nobody that you would say, oh, that would be great.
No, because I know the strengths of some, but I don't know all of the limitations that they come with. And as you said earlier in our conversation, in this environment, everyone will know all the good qualities, or hopefully many of the good qualities of an individual, but they'll also know some of the weaknesses, you know, and I think that'll be a part of the conversation too, that one candidate has tremendous gifts, but he doesn't do some things well or has not done some things well in the past. In other words, he's human.
How important will it be for the new pope to have what you might call at least an open ear to dissent in the church? One of the problems in the Western church with many people leaving has been not just that they disagreed with this teaching or that, but that they felt that they were then not welcome. We have the Bishop of Newark recently saying, look, if you favor gay marriage, you shouldn't take communion. Is it a question of not just dissent, but tone for the church to say, look, we have our teachings, we stand by them, but we welcome the conversation? There are many Catholics who don't feel that they're welcome, and how can a new pope change that?
Well, it seems to me that in the question of proclaiming the faith, that is the responsibility of the Holy Father in union with the College of Bishops. But I would say in the area of dissent or in the area of heterodox teaching or different approaches to some very significant things, what is most needed on both sides is humility. Because some who claim a position of dissent and look at the administration or look at the magisterium and cry foul are as arrogant as they claim the other side is. So if the future is to be advanced in the theological world, in the world of church teaching, a good dose of humility and patience on both sides will, I think, serve everyone well.
Since the pontiff is the leader of the church, is it up to him to make that first move?
You know, I think the Holy Father has demonstrated a certain humility. Will the new pontiff have to take up some of these issues? Of course he will. How will he do it? And the vehicles that are at his disposal, the opportunities for dialogue, the opportunities for one-on-one communications, if not with the Holy Father, then with some of his delegates, some of his staff. I think those moments would be helpful. But again, my stress is if two individuals, one being the church or the magisterium, and a dissident theologian, are to talk to each other, they both have to do so with a good dose of humility and charity. And maybe face-to-face before the diatribes on the media and the blogosphere, et cetera.
As you look at the American church? How important will it be when you have cardinals from all over the world looking at a Catholic community, which is only a tiny part of the church, and yet a country which is so important in the world?
That is always the blessing and sometimes the limitation of being a citizen of the United States, because at whatever table, if we sit at the economic table, if we sit at the diplomatic table, if we sit at any table where there are representatives of other world nations, because of our good fortune as Americans, we often are seen as domineering. So that's a part of the reality. We Americans, I think, have also distinguished ourselves, and I'm proud of that, as we are very generous, and we tend to, not in all, every occasion, but we tend to use our influence, our wealth, our political cachet, hopefully for all the right reasons.
Speaking of the American church for a second, you've probably seen the Pew study of a few months ago, which said that there are some 20% of Americans who may be spiritual but don't consider themselves part of any faith at all. Is there a crisis that goes well beyond the Catholic Church but includes the American Catholic Church that church leaders here and a new pontiff have to address?
That is a serious issue because it does embrace much more than Catholicism. It embraces the challenge that every traditional organized religion faces. That is, people have been disappointed, dissatisfied, scandalized, confused, annoyed by organized religion. And every scandal, whether it be a scandal involving sexual misconduct, financial mismanagement, or political machinations, every scandal is a source of concern for anyone who is a minister in any organized religion, because none of us can walk away unscathed.
Because sometimes I think Catholics, or some Catholics in the church, feel that they are being addressed as if they have a spiritual problem, and their reply is no, this is a problem with the institution.
It is an institutional challenge, without a doubt. And it touches not just religious institutions. It touches every institution in the public arena, the military, the political institutions, the legal institutions, the financial institutions. This is not a happy moment in our history for anyone involved with a structured institution that once enjoyed unquestioned public respect and confidence.
So how does a new pope change that?
He works in his own house first. but he does realize that what he does and does effectively and well will be helpful for, I think, the confidence of people well beyond Catholicism.
Archbishop Wilton Gregory is the Catholic Archbishop of Atlanta. Archbishop Gregory, thanks so much for giving us this time once again. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis. Happy to.